You know, your dad is an expert. We're talking about CC again here. This is an amazing thing, all of this. I'm still overwhelmed about some of the things you said about my astrology. Other than the gardening, you were perfect. Now, maybe I should have been a farmer. I don't know. and the gardening, I think I'm fine with. I just don't do it, that's all. Maybe I need to be out there. I do like nature, and I do like the feeling of it. So, you know, there may be some things. Maybe I haven't followed my... I always thought I knew myself well, but maybe I don't.
Well, here's one we'll try, because something I just noticed in your chart. And you can give me a yes or no on
okay.
this. You have Moon conjunct Uranus in Taurus, and Taurus is naturally a very psychic sign. And Moon conjunct Uranus is very psychic. Would you consider yourself intuitive?
Yes and no.
I
think that's a secret to whatever I've had in interviewing, is that I kind of feel intuitively what people want to talk about or
All
say,
right.
and I read people fairly well, I think.
So then you're,
yeah.
and I would agree with you, so then people feel comfortable because you're able to kind of key in to where they're,
right, right.
where they're going with it.
So yeah. from that standpoint, if I develop the psychic thing, maybe I could. I just don't really practice that too much, but I definitely read people.
Do you have a gut feeling on people?
Sure.
All right.
I don't get locked into the point where the first impression made all the difference, but it weighs heavily.
Okay. See, now that's looking at your intuition, though.
Yeah.
And being able to sit down and look at something and say, intuitively, I have a strong feeling about this. Or that this is, you know, I feel good about this or not.
I use that in all of my research and investigative reporting.
Mm-hmm.
I go by hunches, which is I call them, or feelings.
And that's, again,
more than I do evidence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do get to the evidence stage.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of times evidence is overlooked and read the wrong way. And we just don't really put it all together in the right way. And so... I always call it giving people the benefit of the doubt. In other words, when I listen to them and they're telling me the story, I don't immediately say, well, that line, so-and-so. You know, I mean, I a lot of people think that's being naive, and I think it is. I think it's a good show, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, on intuition, just to go in a direction on that for a second, excuse me, on intuition, I firmly believe that everyone is intuitive. I think we all have that talent. Some of us are just a little bit more tapped into it than others, or more open to different areas to it.
Yeah, you listen to your body or your mind or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What about, before the break, your dad's a premier researcher, UFO ufologist, had a great career in the Air Force before that. Do you have a feeling about extraterrestrials? Beings themselves? I mean, are they playing by the same rules we are, or what do you think?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to go with an honest line.
Yeah, okay. Then.
And we'll say, on as far as how we first, we can't say that we're alone in the universe.
Right.
I don't believe that we're alone in the universe.
Right.
I do believe that there are others out there. As far as a lot of the experiences, though, have we not taken some trauma in our childhood and brought it forward and gave it an ugly, bug-eyed face? And now we can account for that trauma that might have been in there.
Well, that's the reason I said I don't think I've been abducted. I think I was just a very creative guy. And as a kid, I wanted to be an actor and a writer and a producer. And when I go to these horror movies, most people just get scared. I started analyzing them, and I would have dreams about them, and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. You were talking
about... That's all right. That's all right. And I'm going with you on that.
Yeah,
I agree. Now, you're asking me on the ETs.
Yeah.
I personally have had experiences.
You do?
I have had experiences in my childhood and in my adulthood. But, however, I still, like you, stand back and analyze it and go, was that real? Or was that Memorex? Is that something in my imagination?
Uh-huh.
Because
well,
I'm very imaginative.
It's one of those difficult things, anyway. And I think your your dad seems to know more about more species and varieties and more stories than anybody I've ever written. And that has to...
He's had a lot of people that have come forward and contacted
right.
him.
But as he shares that with you and everything, that has to make an impact on what your experiences are, too.
Absolutely.
And so I understand what you're saying. I'm just trying to make it clear for the audience.
You have a dream. And let's say you dream you're up on a mountain, and you can smell the pine, and you can taste it in your mouth. It is so vivid and real, and the cool water that you drink, it's very real. And then you wake up and realize it was only a dream.
We guess.
And now I can tell you on this. Here's one my husband told me. How do you know the dream is reality and reality is not a dream?
True. I mean, he's got a good point there. That's what I meant by that.
How do you know we're not dreaming this entire thing right now, but in reality, we're someplace else. We just don't know that. There is that very fine line of where we're at in there. Now, let's go into another direction and completely but tie it in as well. Remote viewing. Remote viewing is where you can project yourself to someplace else. We are using... only, 3-5% of our actual brain?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say an ET is able to use 60% extraterrestrial. And let's say they're on another planet and they have projected themselves here. Some of us are strong enough we can project ourselves to yet...
Well, it's not that far out because...
No, and now we're seeing something. How do we know they're not projecting themselves here? And we're actually seeing them because they're showing a manifestation of them.
Well, you got a good point. There's a lot of things to think about, and the more times we examine these things, the more complicated it gets.
It opens more questions, and you get in deeper and deeper and deeper, and then after a while, you're sitting there, you're swimming in it, and you're going, wow, it's overwhelming.
Well, I mean, you got a good point. I mean, as a kid, I wanted to be the number one broadcaster in the world, so now I know it's not wishful thinking, or I'm having a dream that I'm still doing it. Are you there listening? Are you real? You brought up a whole new ball.
That's right, because everybody creates their own reality.
Yeah.
Well, with my kids, and I will say this, when they were growing up, I always told them it doesn't matter what. You can be whatever you want to be, whatever you choose to be. You only have to set the path. The start of any journey is that first step. You step the foot out and you say, I'm going to be the best broadcaster out there. Now, what do I have to do to be that best broadcaster? You're doing pretty good on your path, by the way, Jerry.
Well, thank you. I wasn't fishing for a compliment, but what I meant by that was I agree with you. I think I find a lot of people that don't seem to have any direction at all in life. And it seems to be getting worse, but maybe that's because I'm getting older. Maybe we look at things differently as we get older. I don't know.
Did you ever consider that we went through the stage, I'm sorry, with a certain, there's something in the air up here at the hotel that seems to be getting a lot of people.
Oh, your dry throat is famous for Nevada.
And yeah, it's doing the same thing here, so I apologize for that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of parents that are deciding not to be parents. They're negating that. Did you ever notice in the 1940s we didn't have this problem? Because we were family-centered. We sat around the dinner table, we ate together, we talked together, we worked together, we played together, we did things together. Now we don't. We're too busy with our cell phones. We're too busy with our computers.
Oh, I'm amazed at some of these 10, 11-year-olds that have cell phones and their own private numbers.
Numbers and everything else, but do they sit and have dinner with their family? No. So they don't connect. They become disconnected. And now we're so disconnected, is it any wonder all our kids, not all of them, but a lot of them are running wild?
Well, now, you're close to your family, and I'm close to my family. I meet a lot of people that aren't.
With my children, I will say this. You'll have parents that say, well, we're both working parents. It doesn't matter how much time. It's not the quantity time. It's the quality of time.
Right, what you do.
And even just coming together, and I've noticed this in families, that even just coming together and having dinner and sitting down to dinner, turning off the TV, eating together, talking together, has made a big difference in their lives.
Oh, I've seen research on that even.
Yeah, absolutely. I was this way with my kids.
And I used to scoff at that a little bit, but then I began to look at it, and I always had dinner with my family.
Yeah.
And
when I was growing up, I had dinner with my
family.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. That's always been a tradition. And I know Roberta Scott, our producer, same with her family. So the fact is, as we, you know, you're probably right. It's these little simple things that make all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? When you get a chart done, brings it completely around again, doesn't it? Let's say you have a chart done on your child.
She's got a little bit of her dad in there. She's going to plug a book next.
No. I do have a bunch of books, but I'm not going to plug them.
Well, we need to plug some of them.
To sit down, and let's say you had a chart done of your child. That's going to tell you where your child's potential is. Where are they the best at in growing up? When I do books for people that just have a baby, I sit down and say, here's your baby book. Here is a direction to take your child that's going to work with it. If you have a Gemini child, the best thing that you can give them is something that's going to make them think. Like, put them in the kitchen. The best toy I've found for Gemini children, put them in the kitchen, bring out the pots, pans, and wood. Now they can bang on them and make music. They're more fascinated with that. Or give them an old phone so they can take it apart and put it back together again. They will be amused for hours. On the other hand, if you have like an earth sign child.
You've opened up a whole new marketing area there I hadn't thought about. But that is logical and does make sense.
It does. And when you've sat down and you work with someone and you show
them. You know, that's one of the things I have noticed about astrology over the years is that Sagittarians, like I am, on the cusp, kind of, not quite, but almost there. But Sagittarians are a certain way. Leos are a certain way, by and large. Have you found that really be true, or is it more important about the specifics of the houses you're born in?
You know, and the fire signs are the
Well,
doers.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
fire signs, water signs.
Right. And you're fire. Okay, so we're looking at Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius.
Right.
So the fire signs. They're the doers. Aries starts it. He's going to start it, but Taurus has to come in and help plan it. And Gemini is going to, Taurus is your construction.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Aries is your starter. He's your architect. Taurus is going to be your construction guy, but Gemini is going to come in there and say, well, I'm going to need to help you write those plans correctly. Cancer comes in and says, well, I'll feed you, I'll nurture you. Leo comes in and says, well, you're going to need somebody that's going to be the boss. I will gladly jump in and be the boss.
That sounds like Roberta. She's a Leo. That's the reason she's the producer.
She's the boss. And then you come
but
in.
But we Sagittarians know we really are. No, go ahead.
Isn't that the way it works?
Yeah.
Virgo comes in there. Now, Virgo is your statistician. They're going to make sure everything is all the dots are dotted and T's are crossed. But they're also your healthcare people. They're coming in. They're going to make sure you're bandaged and everything is all right on that. Libra comes in there. Libra needs to make it all pretty. Libra cannot make a decision about anything, but Libra can sure make it pretty. So they're your artists in the group. Scorpio is going to investigate and research it. So give them the areas that they can do the research work. Sagittarius comes in. You know, it's interesting about a Sagittarius. Have you ever noticed you stamp your feet a lot?
Yeah.
You pace back and forth, and that's a typical Sagittarius. You watch them stamping their feet, you'll know they're Sagittarius. They're stamping it because they're like, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. Yeah, I'm ready to roll. Here's your Sagittarius. They are going to go out and make it all happen. Capricorn, he's going to come in there, and he's going to find the dollar signs. Let's find out how we can break this down into a monetary area and make it work. Aquarius comes in. He's the inventor, the creator. He's going to come out and take you to the space and technology. And Pisces, he's your spiritual leader. He's going to come in and help you find guidance and find yourself to center yourself. There's your 12 signs in a nutshell.
That was worth the show right there. I like that part. But we have. I want to get back to astrology and earthbound people and extraterrestrials. I mean, they would have. It wouldn't be the same. I'll just ask you when I come back. This is Jerry Pippin. Don't go away.
Hey, have I got an idea here, and I would like to follow it up with especially grandparents, or maybe your new parent, the new baby coming. Is it a boy? Is it a girl? What the future will bring? It's all of that anticipation and excitement of a new member of the family can be captured forever. Listen to this. This is a great idea. We represent an astrologer, C.C. Stevens, who's really unique. And she has something called the Book of You. For $35, you have to have the name of the person, the location where they were born, and the date, and the exact time. And you submit that to C.C. And basically, in a couple of days, we'll put it in the mail. You'll get a little CD back about the Book of You. What a great idea for a newborn child. All of the astrological information laid out for that new member of the family. A great gift idea, don't you agree? C.C. Steven, she has an ability that is almost unexplainable, but she's right on. Trust me.
We're talking with C.C. here, and what What would your what sign is your dad, by the way?
My dad's a Capricorn.
Okay. And what are you?
I'm a Gemini.
Okay. Oh, and Roberta, you're a Leo.
August 22nd.
And I'm a Sagittarian. So so listeners, all you have to do is just get in touch with CC, and got an address there on the website, and she can get the Book of You out for less than $50.
And you know, if any of your listeners want to learn about astrology very easily, I'd like to tell you, if you don't have it, I have the other webpage, internationalastrologers.com. It's free astrology, free lessons. You can get a free chart on there and everything you might want to know. And the astrologers you were asking me about as to who's a good one, they all write articles for me and post them to the webpage as well.
Fantastic.
So there's something
we'll
they can get for
free. We'll put a
link
to the website on that, too. That you mentioned international astrology. I want to talk about interplanetary astrology.
Right.
I mean, astrology charts are drawn up on the position of the planets of this solar system.
Correct.
So it wouldn't really work with other people. I mean, other ETs, other entities. They'd have their own, I guess.
Yeah.
Never really thought of it that way.
No, I've thought of it, and I've asked that same question.
Okay.
If we as humans are here, then what do we do if we were an ET and showed up and said, I'd like to have my chart done. How are you going to do it?
And by the way, we do have ETs listening, and they may contact you. No, I don't know.
That's true. I'm going to have to figure out how to do them, aren't I?
CC, I was wondering about astrology. I mean, where did it start? Do you know the history of astrology?
Well, I'll tell you, Jerry, in the history, Vedic astrology has been around for thousands of years. That would be the Indian astrology. The earliest record of astrology is in Babylon, 1645 B.C. And the earliest horoscope was back at 1410 B.C.
Really?
The Egyptians used the earliest of the mathematical records for astrology, and Ptolemy, P-T-O-L-E-M-Y, was between 85 to 165 B.C., was Greek.
Wow. Ask us a question. I didn't expect to get such a detailed answer. I'm impressed, CC. So it goes back to the earliest times, goes past Babylon even.
It absolutely does. It continues on back. That's the earliest record that I found for you.
Okay.
Tried to give you as accurate of an answer as I could.
So, when you come to these UFO Congress things, and you've been here 8 years, what kind of things did you do over there at your little booth?
You know, I've done a number of things that I've got going over there. Everybody says I always have the most eclectic table out there. I have dowsing rods, so I teach people how to douse. I'm also an intuitive, so I've been known to do readings. I do astrology, I do numerology, and I help Dad out with his stuff by manning his table for him. I have a lot of people that come in.
Yeah, I've seen you every year here.
Uh-huh. I'm the Mother Earth for everybody out there. If you need anything, go
tell our audience, you know, one thing that we talk to people here a lot about and other meetings and conferences, but not on the air very much, is dowsing. Always think of that as looking for water.
You know, with dowsing, and I'll tell you, I have dowsing rods, and I make my own.
Yeah.
And they're called the Spanish L rod. They're in the shape of an L. And
can someone hire you to make a dowsing rod?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They can make them up personal for their own size. I've done that one, and then I have them that I sell on their own.
Uh-huh.
Now, then there's the pendulum style that you use for dowsing as well. And that's hanging. You can just use a ring if you want and put it on a chain and have it hang down and do it from that. But on a dowsing rod, what you are asking for is what you are going to get. So you can do it for what's called water witching, dowsing for water, or you could do it for minerals. It's what you are putting that thought in is where your rod is going to focus to. I took it one time and thought, okay, let's give this an experiment. I'm a researcher. Let's pick this baby apart and see where we can go with it. Who says it's got to be just water? So I took it and I went over a map and I wanted to find a mine that I could stake a claim on and work. So I took a BLM map, Bureau of Land Management, put it over, and I said, where's a good mine? Boop, it crossed the line. Okay, I circled that. Let me get a bigger, more focused in map. I took that, boop, closed in on it again. They cross, is what the rods will come together and cross, creating an X mark. X marks a spot. I brought it down, and I said, okay, I want to stake a claim on this area right here. What is this particular, because it didn't show anything. What is this particular area here that I'm staking a claim to? Well, in the area, it turned out in the late 1800s, it was the old Jesse Benton works. It employed over 2,000 people, and it was a silver mine. It was closed down because they hit water, and they also hit gold, but there was water underneath. So I had staked a claim on this. I went out there and took a look at it, and by golly, it was popping silver for me.
Wow.
And that was using my dowsing rod. Now, that was just finding that. I went out to my sister's ranch. She needed some help trying to find a water line that she had that they were having problems with. So I went out in my yard, and I dowsed, and I hit a spot here and a spot here, and I followed it down. Sure enough, that's where their water line was, and going with that. So I can go out in a dry area and find out. When you're doing dowsing, it's sitting down and saying, first off, where's the water? And then you come back and you say, is it 300 feet, 100 feet, 50 feet? And each time it's going to close as to where it's at. Or is it 50 feet, it doesn't go, 100 feet, it doesn't go, 200 feet, it starts coming in. We now know it's deep, how deep it is. This is how a water dowser is going to go out and find your water.
So what's the what's the secret of that dowsing rod? I mean, is there...
Focuses on your own energy. If you're able to focus on what it is you're wanting, then you're able to use your rod to be able to do that. I don't think you have to be any talented individual. I have them at my table, and I have people that are amazed. I had a cowboy that came in 1 year, and he sat down, and he goes, well, I don't believe those. I don't know how they work. Put them in your hand, and let's see. We did, and I says, here you are, you're facing here. Let's ask it where the river is. The river was flowing right behind him. And the rods turned around and went, ee! And they pointed right behind, and he turned with them, and sure enough, they pointed right to the river. He says, by golly, I've never had something like that happen. That's scary. I said, that's what a dowsing rod is. In this case, it didn't have to cross. It just rolled it around and pointed to where it was. Let's find somebody in the room. They rolled around and pointed to each individual that he would sit there and do. Says, okay, I'll tell you what. You find a blind spot. I'll close my eyes so you don't tell me what it is. Just think about what it is, and then afterwards, let me know you're ready. Did that. Now let's go find out where it goes. Think the question. Okay, when I did it, it didn't go anywhere, but I gave him the rods and says, okay, now let's see where it goes. He holds them, and immediately it points right to the spot where he was going without moving his hand or anything, just standing there at me and thinking about that spot.
So it's a subconscious reaction of some sort.
I think it is. I do believe it is. Mm-hmm. A subconscious is picking up in your mind your vibration of what it is you're going for. You have to focus on what it is you're looking for, though.
We're almost out of time, but I want to give you an opportunity to plug what's going on. You got so many projects. I don't know exactly which one to focus in on.
Where do you start with, right?
Right.
Well, I will tell you, Dad has his books, UFOPhotoArchives.com. He sells all of his books, and I help Dad to promote Dad.
Uh-huh.
I have a cookbook I've done, so you can find that on my webpage. And that's in All Roads Lead Somewhere.
Okay, All Roads Lead Somewhere.
That's right. So you can go to UFOPhotoArchives.com, InternationalAstrologers.com, SedonaVisions.com. All Roads Lead to Somewhere. And I will guarantee you there's something free in there for everyone.
Well,
whoever
good.
Gets in contact always gets a free thank you gift out of it.
Now, you may not want to talk about this, but you mentioned it earlier. You said you had had contact at one time or another with something?
Mm-hmm. When I was a child and then again as an adult.
Can you tell me a little bit about one of
sure.
those? Okay.
Sure. When I was a child, probably starting when I was about 3 until I was about 15, 16 going into puberty.
Mm-hmm.
Most people have strong ones when they're children, or they might have them during puberty. They might. In mine, I have a recall on all of those. And in it, there was always this pretty blue light, like a cobalt blue light that I would feel, or not feel, but I would see in the
mm-hmm.
room. And then I would feel very, very tired, you know, real sleepy, like I was like drugged up, although I wasn't, but that's, you know, how you felt. And I would hear this murmuring, like a mumbling, talking sound that would like was coming out of the vents. I could hear, and it was three gentlemen that would be, I could hear them talking, and then they would get clearer and clearer. And then the next thing you know, there would be this one man, and he was very, very tall, with an elongated face and long fingers, very nice looking. And he would show up, and he would take me through this area that would go through a door and into a lab. And it was, you know, like going through a door to step into a portal of time. And there was a lab, and there was a blackboard, and there was equations, and there was different things going on. They would take me to a board where there were the equations, and then they would ask me to finish an equation. And give me an instrument to write with, like chalk. And I'd write that out, and then I would wake up. When I'd wake up, I'd find all these equations written on my walls.
Wow.
And I'd get in more trouble for that, I got to tell you, for, you know, writing on the walls with crayons. Didn't do me too good. This went on until I was about in my teens, and then it stopped. Now, I will say, in my teens, I had a lot of what I call cheap dog tricks, little tricks that I could do that I've since forth put blocks on, that I stopped it from happening. Could bend spoons. I could read minds, what I call dog tricks, and do a lot of these things. But, you know, people get frightened when you're looking at them and you get into their head and you can read what they're thinking and you answer them before they've even opened their mouth. And then all of a sudden you're getting teased by the kids that you're a freak show. So I stopped.
But do you think, that you were given these talents with these contacts?
I have to ask, was I given the talents through the contacts, or did I already have the talents and it opened
it
up? Yeah, and it was developed through that by the contacts to develop it more and bring it stronger in there. I know in finding things and locating things, remote viewing, I can sit down and locate something and say, I am the object, where am I? Now, I've done this on a number of occasions when people have gotten lost, and I've tried calling the sheriff's department, who I have got to tell you is not really open.
Yeah.
I don't care. They're not open. I've said, if you just look here, stand right there and look, you will see them. You will find them. Okay, we'll do that. And then they blow it off. Next thing you know, you hear about it. They were found, and there it was. All right? If everybody has this ability and talent, if more people would be open to it and receptive to it, then we could see a lot less and more openness. The universe is so big. And we just use such a tiny, minuscule amount of it. How much of it are we missing?
On remote viewing, I'm always puzzled. I mean, obviously, a lot of people believe in it. The government spent a lot of money on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's worked a lot. I've talked to people I respect who say, yeah, I've remote viewed people on Mars or whatever. And how does that really work? And it's like a TV screen or what?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't mean that sounds sarcastic.
No, that's fine.
When I will use an example.
Okay.
My dad lost the crystal off his watch one time. And he calls me up at the house and he says, I can't find my crystal. So I close my eyes and I could see the face of the crystal. I says, well, Dad, if you go to the doorway, it looks like it popped off on the door and fell down and right down on the side. And he goes, which doorway? I said, doorway by your bedroom. Just look down on the floor. Walk in there, look down the side of the wall, right there on the floor. I can see it very clear. That's where it is. It's like being right there, literally, and looking at it. Now, I was at my house, and he was at his. So he walked in there, and he looks down, and he goes, how the blankety-blank, did you see that? There's that crystal. He said, that blends right in with the floor. How did you see it?
Yeah.
Remote viewing. It's a matter of remote is
sure
to be able to put that mind someplace. You know, Jerry, we use such little of our brain. What are we capable of? Look how much the dolphins use and what they're capable of.
Well, you got a good point with that, and it's a good way to end the show, except we want to be sure, and we'll mention all the websites and everything as we go. But and we have the links as well. But is there something that you'd like to talk to about tonight that I didn't bring up, I mean, besides solar cooking?
No, I think we've pretty well covered it, other than wouldn't that be nice if we all did something nice, didn't look for anything in return other than to pass it forward and do something nice for somebody else. Even a little ripple can become a big ripple and make a difference.
Good way to close the show. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
With that, we'll close. This has been a show from the UFO Congress. Roberta Scott's our on-location producer. Until next time, cheers.
The biggest secret ever is about to be revealed. Fast Walkers, UFO and Alien Disclosure.
Words you were never meant to hear.
It's clear we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate.
This is the biggest secret in the history of the human race, the known modern history of government.
Photos you were never meant to see. Video you never knew existed. People you were never meant to meet.
As Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth.
Essentially everything that you would want to know has been covered up.
Things you were never meant to know about.
No one has produced a higher quality, better produced DVD. Anytime. Anywhere.
Fast Walkers, now available on DVD for only $19.95 at ShopJerryPippin.com.